I got up early this morning, so I was scrolling through social media, and I saw this post that said, ministers like me shouldn't do a Mother's Day sermon. Because, one, it's not really a Christian holiday, and that's true. But it also said it's not really fair to the women that are not mothers in the congregation. And I thought about that, and I don't really like this way of thinking, this nihilist attitude that unless it applies to everyone, it's something that we should ignore. But the reason I want to go ahead and do a Mother's Day sermon today is not so much that it's not a Christian holiday, because God gives us important people in our lives, and it's clear that while God alone is worthy of honor, that these are still people that we should praise for the good job that they do. Mothers fill so many hats. They're taxi drivers, they're chefs, they're nurses, they're teachers, they're fortune tellers in some ways, they're your cook, they're your cleaner, they're your priest or minister, they're going to take care of their children. Why? Because for the most part, they love you. I'm not a really great person sometimes. I know my mom likes me a lot. I brag that I'm her favorite, which my siblings will say, yeah, that's pretty true. But they are the most self-sacrificing people on the planet because they understand what it means to give life. And yeah, sure, while there's probably not some great mothers out there, and you could probably think of them, and I'm not going to name any of them, but for the most part, they're great people. They're wonderful people. This day starts about 150-ish years ago with a woman named Anna Jarvis. You guys know what happened about 150 years ago? The Civil War. The Civil War was so devastating to our country that families were literally torn apart. In states like Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, even Ohio and Indiana saw families that were half the family would go and fight on the Union side and the other half of the family would go and fight on the Confederate side. And so they were split. And so this woman, Anna Jarvis, decided, we need to give back to uniting the families. And what unites a family more than a mother? And I thought about that, and I thought, that is absolutely true, because a mother is the glue that holds every single family together. I know my family would be a mess if it was not for Rachel. Is there any father in this room that disagrees with the statement that your family doesn't work without the mom? Nobody. Nobody at all, because we all know it to be true. And so even though it took 150 years ago to start this holiday, which really didn't even start till 1914, this is the day that we spend the most amount of money next to Christmas. No other day of the year, even Christmas, has as many phone calls or restaurants booked or even flowers purchased. And this holiday is becoming so popular that it's now not just about the one day, it is now becoming a weekend. Yesterday at 5 o'clock, I said, Rachel, where do you want to go? She says, I want to go here. So we drove all the way to Kansas City, and at 5 o'clock we got there, and they said, we have no open reservations. So then I had to eat my gulian, and Rachel got to be happy because I don't typically like Chinese food. But that's another time for another day. Our mothers deserve this time because often they give us the things that we want. They take us to places. They are our personal chauffeurs. If we say, I want to go Pokemon hunting, most of the time that's a no. But my kid, yes, I see you raising your hand, Thomas. They will say, okay, let's go do that. And they say, can I have this toy? All right, have you been good enough for me? Okay, sure. You can have that. Do you know, on average, a mother will buy their husband or their child 10 things for every one thing they will buy themselves? Does anybody find that to be surprising? No. that's what mothers do. They help us. They spend money. They give us advice. And they also give us the things we don't want. They say no to that brand new toy. They punish you when you do bad. Not because they hate you, but because they absolutely love you. Oh, is this not on? Oh, I did? Okay. Yeah. Alright. They give us advice when we don't listen. Every Thursday, my mother calls me. And every Thursday, she tells me something, and I'm like, okay, Mom. But most of the time, even if I won't want to hear it, I will still listen to it because my mother has never stopped raising me. Even when she is 100 years old, she will not stop raising me. Because that is how much she cares for us. And I know some of you moms, you will do the exact same thing. They expose us. They give us exposure. Even when it's embarrassing, they love you. The Bible has a lot to say about mothers. I'm going to put this back on. Can you hear me now? Thank you. The Bible has a lot to say about mothers. And often when we look at what makes a good mother, we look at what makes a good woman. Because I think those qualities go hand in hand. So when we think of what makes a good woman, what do we think about in the Bible? Proverbs 31. Thank you, Rosemary. Proverbs 31. And Proverbs 31 has a lot to say about what makes a good woman. Specifically, what makes a good mother. It says, she is an excellent wife. That's a check for Rachel. She is trusted, caring, crafty, providing, astute, organized. That's not maybe a good check for Rachel. Rachel is not as organized as I am. She is shrewd, careful, hospitable, charitable, and well-known. People praise her for how good she is. But I think what really makes a good wife are these five things. Or a good mother. Good mother, a good wife. She is strong, diligent, brave, blessed, incredibly blessed by her husband, by her children, by everything she does, and hardworking. Our society has this negative stigma, and it's not even our society, this has been going on for thousands of years, that what really makes a woman of value is her beauty. We see that in advertising, we see that in television, but for thousands of years, God has been teaching us that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. You want to know what makes a good mother? A good mother is one who fears the Lord. That woman is to be praised. Fathers are expected to be the leaders of the family. But I'm reminded when I think of this, that may be true, but that line from the Big Fat Greek Wedding, it may be the father that's the head, but the woman controls the neck, and she can turn the head any way she wants. Because she knows what's best, because she has taken the time to fear the Lord. The great wisdom of all understanding, you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon says, everything is meaningless, except this. This is what's important. And those mothers who fear the Lord are some of the most self-sacrificing and selfless people I have ever met. They put the needs of the children above their own. 10 to 1 at least, and in most cases, it's more. They go out of their way to protect us. In fact, many women would be willing to give up their own lives if it came at the cost of their children. And indeed they have, not just in the physical aspect, but in the emotional and the monetary, economical, everything you can think of, women have sacrificed for their family. A good woman understood what it means to give up from their child. That story in 1 Kings, and 1 Kings chapter 3, two women go before Solomon and present him with a choice. And they both claim that the child that is living, there's a living child and a dead child, is theirs. And Solomon says, okay, I know how to fix this. Bring me a sword. So they bring him a sword. He says, I will cut the child in half. You can have one half. You can have the other. Problem solved. Every single one of you would go, no, that is not a problem solved. And so the woman who actually owned the child says, no, give it to the other one. Because I would rather that child live than me have to live with that child. That is a woman who sacrifices. It's not about her. It's about those that she loves. Mothers are silent sufferers. We see this very clearly illustrated in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus' mother is told that a sword will pierce her heart so that the thoughts of men, so that the hearts of men may be revealed. How many of you have had your children hurt you? I could say that's true. I'm not even a mom, and my children have hurt me. But I don't think anyone endures this more than a mom. They want what's best for their kids. And so they are willing to put up with a whole lot. So I think back to that conversation that I saw on social media today and think, no, women are deserving of honor. And the Bible is very, very clear about this, which is why I had the passage read from Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents. It doesn't say honor just the head. It says honor your father and your mother. This is the commandment with a promise. The first commandment with a promise. Because if you obey your father and mother, it will go well with you in the land. You want to see the fear of God? Make your mother angry. I'm 39 years old, and I would be terrified if I made my mother angry. Because I know at 39 years old, my mom would still grab me by the ear and spank my bottom if I made her angry. And you know what? I would let her. That's how afraid I would be. Honor your parents, that it may go well with you. Because the first sign of respect you have of authority is with your mother and father. If you cannot respect them, how could you expect to respect the government, your future spouse, or even yourself? Give them the honor that is worthy of them, because mothers make us great. Timothy is praised by Paul for being great, but not so much what he did, but what he was taught by his mother and his grandmother. I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and now your mother Eustace, and now I am sure dwells in you. Because they took the time to teach you grace, faith, and forgiveness. That is your self-worth in God. All because of those wonderful women in your life. And we owe so much to these women. More than we could ever pay back. Think about everything you owe to God. And take that about 5 steps down. And that's maybe more. I don't know. I don't want to guess there. And that is what you owe to your mom. For at least 18 years, and for some of you, significantly longer, your mothers have been sacrificing their lives to give you, to put you on the right path. And for much of their whole life, they will continue to do so. And we are obligated to take care of those women, just like Jesus in one of his final moments on this earth took care of his own mother. He said to the one he loved, "This is your mom now. I leave her in your hands." If you don't take care of your mom, little kids, if you don't treat your mom with respect, cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. You know what the penalty of curse in the Old Testament was? They hung you on a tree. And the people said, Amen. That is how important it is. There are often mothers who are not mothers. I see the way Morgan. I see the way Morgan acts with the little kids. And she says, I never want to be a mother. But she is certainly a mother to the children that are even sitting next to her right now. Paul saw the same thing in Rufus's mother, who treated him with respect. And while no mother is perfect, our love for them and their love for us and our shared love for the Lord can overcome any motherly or any imperfection. Because love does cover a multitude of sins. God gives us some of the best traits around. And while we normally look at God as a masculine figure in the Bible, He is full of motherly traits. He takes care of His people like an eagle hovering over her young, as a midwife cares for the child she delivered, as a mother who never forgets her mercy, their nursing child. God comforts His people as a nursing mother and as a bear who'd been robbed of his cubs. As a mother bear who'd been robbed of her cubs. Sorry about that. Rachel says I need to be more careful when I read scripture. Yes, the women in our lives are worthy of honor because they fear the Lord. Mothers are patient. Mothers are kind. Sometimes they are envious of their children. Most mothers are not envious of their children, though they may boast about them. Mothers insist on their way or the highway, but not out of resentment or wrongdoing, but out of truth, love, and improvement. A mother bears for her child, believes in her child, hopes for her child, loves her child. So on this day that may not be a Christian holiday, I want all of you to go and call your mother. If you see your mother, give her a hug. Tell her that you love her. Tell her that you appreciate the fear of God that is in her life. And thank her for the wonderful job that she did for you on this day. I hope you do. I hope you will understand how important this is to have this in our life. How much that God wants us to pay tribute to our family. If there's anything we could do for you, if you'd like to respond to this message in any way, we invite you to come forward as Jeff leads us in song.